It's the Junior Kekuwema Junior Show, starring Junior Kekuwema Junior.
Come on, let's do it.
Join Junior along with the Wayne Borge Band as he makes any kind from Hawaii.
No idea.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Junior Kekuwema Junior.
Okay, how's it? My name is Junior Kekuwema Jr. Welcome to the podcast. And as usual, we'd like to start with the attitude of gratitude. So thank you to everybody who's enjoying the podcast worldwide. And we'd like to let you know that there's no new countries and we're not going to go over the stats. And there's more women this week. and that's a good thing because we love women. So anyway, let's get on with the podcast. So today we're going to talk about something a little bit more. Not that we want to get so serious with it or anything, but we want to inspire those of you with ADHD and PTSD, okay? Because I have both. Yeah. So, I don't normally talk about these private, intimate details about me because, I've always felt that it's nobody's business. And everybody is going through something, okay? Everybody goes through something. I mean, they're going through something. Everybody has a challenge. And everybody's challenge is different, okay? I know, and it's not relative to like money or anything, right? Money is different. Money is like a separate thing. It's like what you do for a living or whatever. I have friends with tons of money, like multimillionaires. And they have huge challenges, like personal challenges that have nothing to do with money, right? But they need to like overcome this stuff. And some of them go into severe addiction. Some of them go into, severe tailspins with different things. But today we're going to talk about ADHD and PTSD. And here's why. The reason why is because I did a recent, a talk recently at a school. And I mentioned the fact that, I was ADHD. Now I have both forms. So I have what they call combined presentation. And that means that you have, both forms of ADHD. And there are clinically three types, but there are two really common types, and I have both. And I have PTSD, and that stemmed from, child abuse, not in my house, but outside my house. So I had bullies that were adults, And I did battle with them. I did battle with these guys, okay? But and they did not win. They did not win, okay? And there was, if you listen to my story, like part one and part two is called I Was Drugged. And so, there was a point in my life, I was 17, and people tried to get rid of me, like literally turned me into a vegetable by giving me a marijuana joint laced it's the first time that angel dust or, PCP, that kind of stuff, angel dust. And there was PCP and angel dust in that. But angel dust, the first time it was found on my island, it was found in me. So I can claim that one. Like, yeah, it was me, that kind of thing. But it wasn't on purpose. And it was, I definitely would never have, partaken in anything like that, but that's what happened. Okay. And I can't change that. That's what happened. So I have these, every once in a while I get these flashbacks. Not like anything severe or anything. My flashbacks consist of like staying up all night, not being able to sleep. And then, I gotta like do something, right, to go to sleep. And otherwise my next day is ruined. Because then I start getting tired around 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, and then I have to work 8 hours or 12 hours or 16 hours. And I put in 16-hour days. That's part of my ADHD. So this is what I'm going to tell you. Because when I left that school, right, because I talked about it, these kids started opening up in their classroom, and I had no knowledge of this. The teacher wrote to me later, and she said, thank you for mentioning ADHD because the kids are like, they were talking about it. They were having conversations about it. you know, because they looked at me as being successful, right? Like, I don't even know what success is. And I can tell you that my multimillionaire friends, when you bring up success and you start asking them, like, what made you successful? They're like, oh, man, I don't know. I just go to work. I mean, you know, so that, and that's the attitude that I have. I have no preoccupation with success. I'm like, nah, I just do what I do. I do what I do. I keep going and I don't look back. So it's called putting the blinders on, because when you start caring about what somebody else thinks, or you start keeping up with somebody else, it's unrealistic, right? And it's unrealistic because you are not them. You are you, and you have your own purpose, your own life purpose. You know, somebody, you know, people, this guy that I used to work with used to tell me, oh, well, I make six figures a year. I'm doing six figures. And of course, I was doing five figures, right? But I had my own company, right? In fact, I think at the time that he was doing this, I had two. I had a production company and a singing school. And we were hitting pretty close to six figures, but we were doing five figures. You know, I'm not going to sit here and give you any, you know, illusions of grandeur, right? And we were doing five figures at the time. This was a long time ago. This was more than 20 years ago. And it seemed really unrealistic to me that this guy was doing six figures, right? And so what happened, and the way I found out, you know, girls talk to each other, ladies, they share, right? And so my manager at the time was a woman. And so we were in the office, in the business office of the radio station, and she was having a conversation with this lady that worked in the business office. And she said, hey, by the way, you know, so-and-so, you know, makes six figures and, you know, whatever. And she goes, well, I was wondering, like, what is your pay scale like in radio? And so I'm there and I'm like, whoa. And it just so happens that my manager was a doctor. She was a PhD and she was brilliant. I mean, this lady was brilliant, and she was asking, you know. And so then the information came out and the other girl looks at her, and then she looks at me, and she didn't really want to say, because like I was there, and she kind of shakes her head no, and she goes, not six figures. She goes like that. And I mean, that was good enough for me. You know, I was like, well, that's what I thought all along. So you're gonna get people like that, okay, that want to make you jealous or envious or just belittle you. Okay, now I didn't take it as belittling. You know, I got to admit, the first time I heard it, I was like, what? Like, what? You know? And it kind of, you know, it kind of, you know, because I was, you know, making so much less, right? But I was, my deal was in the business office. And then I thought, well, if they're paying him that, then I can raise my price on the other side. And I did. And I began doing sessions, like on-air sessions, and billing for like, I don't know, I think we were billing $1,200 or $1,500 a session, a day. And we were, you know, on the other end, right? So the guys on the on-air side had no idea what I was doing in the business office, and we kept it that way. But anyway, that's not the podcast. The podcast is living with ADHD and PTSD. Okay, because what you do for a living doesn't matter. You could be making millions of dollars a month, okay, like a month, okay, and still have these problems that plague you, because these are problems that aren't related to money at all, okay? So it doesn't matter if you make minimum wage, if you do, I don't know, $500,000 a year or whatever. It doesn't matter. You have to deal with this. So when the kids started talking about it and the teacher goes, wow, thank you for bringing it up because the kids are talking about it. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I think more kids need to hear this. So, and adults, there's so many adults with ADHD. Now, the thing about what led to my PTSD was that ADHD wasn't discovered yet when I was a kid. Okay. So I was very young, right? I think I was I think when I started to, they tried to diagnose me when I was like five, I think. And it was a very, you know, I want to say, I don't want to go into all the little, you know, scrawny details and stuff. I'm not, I have no victim mentality or anything. I'm not like living in the past kind of thing. But if it can serve for some kind of reference for somebody, and somebody listen to the podcast, this podcast, and go, yeah, that's me. Yeah, that happened to me. Yeah, you know, whatever. And I'm going to tell you how to deal with this stuff. Because I don't take medicine for ADHD at all. I mean, so, and I'm going to tell you, like, it is a blessing and a curse. Okay, now I couldn't come out with this years and years ago, like when I got popular or anything like that. I had to wait. And the reason why I had to wait is because there are a lot of prejudiced people out there, okay, that when you say you have ADHD, they're not going to hire you. They're not going to include you. They're not going to make you a part of the fold, so to speak, right? But anyway, yeah. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you just got to keep a secret, you know? Sometimes you just have to play your cards close to your chest. And sometimes you just have to move forward no matter what, because you don't have a choice, okay? Now, here's the thing about the PTSD and how that came along or came about. So when I was like, you know, four, they kind of noticed like, man, this kid, this one is different. You know that? This kid is different. Like, you know, and, you know, and I had all these, I had all these imaginary friends and stuff. I'm an only child. Okay. So I had to make my own friends. I had to invent my friends, right? My friends lived in my head because I was an only child. I was alone a lot. So here's the thing, right? Because I was an only child and because that was the situation, I'm really, really good at being alone. Okay. I don't need a chick to validate me. I don't need, you know, the boys to validate me. I don't need to go hang with the boys and, you know, I don't know, prove that I'm some kind of man or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. Like, well, I got to hang out with the boys. I got to drink all night long because I got to show them I'm a man. No, none of that. None of that. But here's the thing, because nobody knew about ADHD and they just knew I was different. And they're like, wow, like this kid comes up with all these, you know, imaginary things and whatever. Now the H in ADHD stands for hyperactive. Okay. So when I was like, you know, four or five like that, they could not give me Coca-Cola. Okay. And I remember like growing up without Coca-Cola and my friends had, and I did not have, right? And I was mad because, you know, like, I'm like, well, they can have, what about me? Like, no, I can't have, you know, and you cannot explain to a 5-year old or a 6-year old, because this happened like until I was, gosh, I wasn't able to have Coke until I was like maybe, I want to say 7, 8, around there, around third grade. I couldn't have it. It was not allowed. It was not allowed in my house. And my mom was kind of like around me all the time. So, you know, or my dad, right? And so that didn't happen. But I will tell you this, okay, that as a result of not knowing, right, my medication was the belt, sticks, like water hose. Like, I mean, it goes on and on, right? There was one time I got the baton. That was kind of different. That was a parade baton and it's metal. So, but the good news is that those metal batons are hollow. And so they kind of bent, you know, and then, yeah. But that kind of what we now call abuse, right, was actually, most of it was done outside my house and not by my parents. Most of it. No, I gotta tell you, yeah, you know, my mom used to chase me around the house with a belt, right? And I used to run, and we used to run around the coffee table in the living room and stuff like that. And I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was fun. And when she finally caught me, right? Cause she would catch me. And when she finally caught me, it was kind of like, I don't know, like I used to laugh a lot. I used to, you know, scream, you know, no, mommy, no, you know, that kind of thing. And after a while, I would start laughing, you know, because I don't know, I was different, right? And so this kind of stuff happened, right? And because of this outside thing that happened outside my house, okay, I got tied to a tree once. I got tied to a tree in the back of a golf course. And I mean, you know, I'm not going to go into the details because it's pretty ugly. But this happened as a result of, you know, and I couldn't figure it out, you know, in my teenage years as I got older. You know, that was like my early, like maybe 12 years old kind when they tied me to the tree. But I'm not, you know, and I'm not going to, you know, go into everything. But as I got older in teenage years, I started directing that hyperactivity to music. And when I started, like around 14, I started, you know, playing guitar and stuff. And this one guy made time for me and he actually showed me. Because I was just too hyperactive for people to deal with. Like, you know, I get jumpy. And you know this on the podcast because you can hear me sometimes when I get stuck. And I get stuck because my brain is in the middle of two or three ideas at a time. And I'm trying to jump tracks. You know, and I'm trying to jump tracks and then I go, whoop, okay, let's get back to the point. And then I go back. That's my ADHD. So, you know, and I'm used to it. I hope you're used to it. I hope you don't mind. But I'm just trying to share these things because if you have a child with ADHD or if you have ADHD, you got to know you're not alone. You got to know that more and more people are being open about this and talking about this. And you have to know that it's a blessing if you use it that way, okay? If you use it if you accept it in the curse format, like, you're going to feel sorry for yourself. You're going to be down. You know, I even got to one point, and I'm not going to lie, I even got to one point where I was imagining, like, you know, because I was trying to put myself in a person who is contemplating suicide's shoes. And I got to tell you, Hawaiians, with my ADHD, right, combined presentation, okay, all the whole shebang, as they used to say in the old days, the whole everything, right? I actually imagined at one time that I could, you know, commit suicide if I wanted to, and I put myself in the other person's shoes. So what this is imagining, right? And I imagined myself down in so deep that when I got there, okay, when I got to that, you know, imagining, right, go deeper, 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 and then boom, I was right there, and I go, oh, this is what they're thinking. This is how they get there. Like, you know, and this took me, like, in a matter of hours. It just took me a matter of hours to imagine that I was at the point where I wanted to commit suicide. And when I got there, it was pretty dark, okay? And I'm talking about my imagination, okay? I'm sitting there, you know, in my living room long, long time ago, and I go, I wonder what it's like. And I started imagining, I started putting myself in that person's shoes. And I go, wow, yeah, this is real. So I also understand that. And in my life coaching, like, I've come up with that one time. And I helped this lady because we properly identified what was wrong. And it wasn't her. It was a PTSD type thing that she was afraid. And I can tell you right now, every time she drove to the airport in the mainland, and this was in another state, I'm not going to give specific details, but every time she drove to the airport, she would have a panic attack. Okay. And this panic attack was tied to PTSD. Okay. Or post-traumatic syndrome. Right. And anyway, so she could not get on a plane to come back to Hawaii. So she happened to pull me up online. And I guess, I don't know, she read the reviews or whatever, Here For You Life Coaching. And she called me. She texted me, actually. And I'm sorry. She filled out the form on the website. She filled out the form on the website. And then I texted her. And then we got together and we started doing sessions on Zoom. And it wasn't until the second month. So we do sessions once a week for 1 hour. And it wasn't until the second month that I started asking her questions. And I determined, actually, at that point, oh, you're not afraid to drive to the airport or to get on the plane. Because I thought she was afraid to get on the plane. It wasn't that. It was what she was going back to that scared the, you know, dickens out of her, if we can say that, right? It scared her. And the reason why it scared her is because the experiences that she had at that place that she was going back to in Hawaii. And I go, oh, all right, I got it, you know. And then I put that together for her. Guess what? She's all good now. She's fine now because she identified it. So the first thing is acceptance, right? Accepting that you have a problem. The second thing is like, okay, what's the real problem? Okay, because you can't look at symptoms. You know, the symptoms are like, okay, I'm having a panic attack. You know, the symptoms are, yeah, I have ADHD. I'm a little hyper right now. No, what's triggering this? You have to look deeper. So that's what I do. That's my job, to look deeper. But I can tell you, I went deep on my own in my head and I go, oh, I totally get it. I totally get how these guys can, you know, get that far down deep into, feeling like it doesn't, life doesn't matter anymore. And they can just go. They can just leave. They can just turn themselves off. That kind of thing. So anyway, let's get back to, you know, something more pleasant. But I'm just telling you, I had to put myself in that situation to understand certain things, you know. And I have never been suicidal or anything like that, but I needed to understand it. I needed to be there. So I'm telling you, here's what I'm really telling you. Your imagination can get carried away, okay? You know how they say, oh, your imagination, you're getting carried away with your imagination, that kind of thing. So everybody told me that, like, when I was young. But now I use it to help people, okay? And then for a long time, I was using it in music, you know? But when I started learning how to play music, here's what happened, right? I started playing to the chicks. I started playing to the chicks on the beach. And the guys on the beach were like, you know, like, they were older. They were in their 30s, and I was, you know, in my teens, and I used to hang out with these guys, and they were always good to me. But there was this, here's your big fat butt, Hawaiians, but, right? I was doing things that they couldn't do. And I had no reservations about walking up to girls and going, hey, how's it going? You know, what's up? And that kind of thing. Although I don't do it too much now, like only if I, you know, want to take somebody out or whatever. I'll walk into a Starbucks, I'll walk up to somebody and strike up a conversation and, you know, get a phone number and email. But the thing about it is, the reason why I'm very cautious now is because things can get turned around on a guy real quick, okay, with the laws that are in place now. So a lot of men have that kind of hang up, you know, like, oh, I don't know if this is going to be taken as aggression or sexual harassment or whatever. And they just kind of give up. So, you know, and that's another discussion for, that's another podcast, Hawaiians. That's another podcast. Because that has to do with the pendulum swinging from when women were getting abused and treated like property and beat up and whatever, okay? And it's not like it doesn't happen now, but I'm just saying, like, before it was pretty open, way back when I was a little kid. And then now the pendulum is all the way over here where, you know, women are just, you know, dialing their cell and putting their significant other in jail. Okay, so that, and the pendulum is starting to swing back to the middle. It's not there yet, but, you know, I'm confident pretty soon it'll kind of mellow out and even out. But the ADHD thing, right, because nobody knew what was wrong, the belt was the solution, right? And you know, other physical means of discipline was the solution. And it was just like, well, we'll just beat it out of this kid, you know, that kind of thing. And that wasn't the position of my parents at all. They just didn't know what to do. And, you know, I went to child psychologists and stuff. And, you know, my mom and dad are trying to figure out, okay, what, you know, what's going on? Like, you know, we got to do something. And it wasn't until about 12 years old that they took me to this child, I think it was a child psychiatrist. Yeah, she gave me Ritalin. And now I think they use different forms of that stuff. I'm not familiar with what they use right now, although I know there's Adderall, and I don't know, there's something else. There's other things that they use. But turns out that when you take, you know, something like Ritalin, which is actually more of a stimulant, it has the opposite effect on your brain. So you're taking these stimulants, but it's kind of relaxing you and mellowing you out kind of thing. And the focus was amazing. Like, I started to focus. I was settled down, you know. I was kind of boring. I was kind of boring, Owens. You know what I mean? I got to the point where I was like, hey, I think I'm a little too boring. You know that kind of thing? But what happened, you know, the long story short of what happened is when I got drugged, you know, not at the beach. I got drugged at home, but, you know, I was like, here, take this home and smoke this watching the sunset. And I did. And on the, you can listen to this on the second podcast. It's called My Story. I was drugged. And when that happened, right, that flew me into a different universe. I was in a different dimension. I was like, for the entire weekend, you know, and conveniently, my parents were off island, right? So there, you know, there was this little conspiracy thing in my head going on, like, hey, how come all of these things just conveniently happen like this, right? But that's not a podcast. In fact, go listen to the second podcast, podcast number two. One and two is my story. But anyway, the reason why I'm talking about it is because if you have a child that is exhibiting ADHD symptoms, okay, or they can't sit still, they can't focus, they can't, okay, the cure is not to beat them up. That's not the cure, okay? Because all that did for me was make me tough. And I can tell you, if it was one thing I was good at as a child, okay, it was taking a beating. I was good at it. I was like, you know, the things that the bullying that the kids did to me, like my peers, the bullying that they did to me in school and stuff like that, like none of them ever hit me. But the kind of bullying that they used to do and threatening and kind of, I mean, now I was immune to that, you know, so I didn't really even consider that a big deal because they didn't punch me out at school or anything like that. But there was other forms of bullying, right? You know, where they want your lunch money, they want this, they're trying to intimidate you in front of other people. Like, I just pushed back. Because on the side, right, like away from school, in my private life, there were these adults that were doing this, you know, this crap to me. And I think at one point I got written off. I think at one point I got written off because it kind of felt that way. Like you know, and it's a really empty feeling, okay, when you get to the point where you feel by other people's actions that you don't count, okay? Now, I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but if you go down that road, okay, of bullying, of abuse, that kind of stuff, right? You're going to get to the point where you feel like nobody cares, right? Now, to me, I had become so numb already from the abuse, right? Due to the ADHD, right, that resulted in the PTSD, okay, because yeah, you know, every once in a while, when I see somebody, here's the thing that triggers me. This, and I'll tell you my trigger right now. I'll tell you my biggest trigger. When I see a little kid being bullied, when I see children being bullied, or like, you know, when I see guys in the shopping center swearing at their kids, like at their kids, right? Calling their kids an effing whatever, blank, 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 right? We keep the podcast clean, Hawaiians, but you see, that's my biggest trigger. I something happens right down here in my na'au, okay? For you people outside of Hawaii, and that's the majority of my audience, it's my abs, you know, right down in your stomach when you get that feeling in the pit of your stomach and you go, ooh, like, you know that kind of feeling, right? Like you wanna punch somebody or like you wanna, you know, you wanna do something, right? And when I see little children being treated like that, it takes me back. It takes me back to like, yeah, that happened to me. And I look at these little kids and I have to turn away. And I have to, I mean, you know, it's not my business. Okay. That family or whatever is going on with them is not my business. And I have to turn away and look and get distracted into something else or purposely focus on something else because I get angry inside. Okay. And I get angry inside because it's like, yeah, hashtag me too kind of thing. Right. It's like hashtag I feel you, little kid. You know, and I look at these little kids and they're lost, you know. And here's what's happening now. When you treat little kids like this, or if you see little kids that are being treated like this, or if you know families that do this, that swear at their kids, because there's a lot of them, okay? You should talk to your friends. And you should tell your friends, hey, you really shouldn't talk to a child like that. Because you know what that's going to do? That's going to cause issues in those kids when they get to be adults. And you know what? This is going to be generational. It's going to be passed down. Boom, 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 down the family line. And that's why you have a major section of you know, this kind of, at that level or that vibration of population in prison. Okay? And that's where they're going to go. And that's the service that you're doing to them. Okay? You're putting them on that road because that lower vibration only has two destinations. The first one is prison. After that, it's the graveyard. That's it. Okay? Or it's scattering ashes, whatever, right? But I'm just saying, like, yeah, that's my biggest trigger when I see kids being abused by adults because that's what happened to me. You know, and yeah, the bullying from kids my age, I never really thought of it in a traumatic way or anything. Number one, because I was kind of numb from the adults that was doing it. And then number two, right, they were my age. They were my, you know, so I could handle that. You know, if I punch them back, I punch them back or whatever. If they hit me, I hit them back. But the majority of them never hit me. My classmates never treated me like that. My classmates, you know, they were verbal. Everybody was verbal. We was calling everybody a son of a, you know, whatever. We were always like that. And I come from a pretty tough place. It's not like it is now, okay? I come from a very off-the-wall kind of tough place, okay? But I'm saying that those adults conditioned me in such a way that the kids, my peers, never mattered. I'm like, you guys are lightweights, right? Because I got to deal with the adults. And that's the story of you know, my involvement with ADHD and PTSD. So here's the thing. If there's a child with ADHD, whatever form, okay, ADHD or just ADD, right? If you try to remedy, you know, the situation with punishment, that's not going to do. That's going to result in PTSD, okay? Now, there are mild forms of PTSD, and I'm not going to get clinical or anything because I am not a psychiatrist or psychologist or a medical professional or make medical claims or anything like that, okay? I'm a life coach that has seen stuff. I'm also a life coach that has been through stuff. So I know how to help in certain instances, and what I recommend is that you go see a psychologist or psychiatrist or child psychiatrist and take care of it that way rather than trying to deal with it yourself and put them on restriction and whatever. Because you know what they're doing? You know how they're looking at you? They're looking at you as being mean. They're looking at you as like, mom, you don't get me. Dad, you don't get me. Like, you know, because kids are not stupid. They're not stupid. I remember being 6 years old and I had the lay of the land in my head already, you know, and at 6 years old, you know, I knew I was being treated unfairly. I didn't know why, right? I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know that, you know, I was that different because a lot of us were just, you know, my friends, then all of us were just really naughty boys. We were young. So I didn't really see myself as, you know, naughty boy on steroids, but that's what I was. Mm-hmm. So what I'm really saying, Hawaiians, is, yeah, if you see symptoms like that, or, you know, it's not that your kids are lazy. It's not that your kids are like, you know, in a fantasy world, although they may be, they may live in their imaginations a lot, because that's what happens. Okay. But here's the good news. Ready for the good news? All right. So because I have this overactive brain, because my brain needs a job all the time, I'm always working. And this is what a medical health professional told me a long time ago when I got drugged. There were a series of hospitalizations I had to go through because they were trying to figure out. I had this one doctor giving me all kinds of different stuff, right? And he would take me over here on the left. Then the next month, he would take me here on the right. And they'd be, okay, try this. Oh, that never worked. Okay, try this blue one. That one never worked. Okay, try this out of capsules. You know, and I was like, whoa. It was a journey, Hawaiians. It was a journey. But during one of these hospitalizations, because what happened was I was misdiagnosed. They were misdiagnosing me as this and that. And I think one was borderline schizophrenic. One was, you know, they were giving me these different labels. One was manic depressive. One was like, I mean, they had all kinds of stuff. They had all kinds of diagnosis for me, right? The problem with the schizophrenic stuff is I didn't really qualify for full on schizophrenia. And the problem with the manic depressive part was that I never got depressed, you know? And so, anyway, long story short, without going too deep on this stuff, there was a nurse, God bless her, and she told me, you know what? She goes, with your energy and the way you think and the way your brain works, you are going to make a lot of money in life. All you have to do is apply your energy to something productive. She goes, you can outlast the average human being. And okay, so you know the drive, the energy, the, you know, that kind of thing, the hyper, the H in the ADHD. Okay, that's what drives me. And I know it can be overbearing with people. And so I'm constantly having to, you know, pull the bridle kind of thing, right? Like, slow down. Okay, take them easy. You're giving them too much information. You're like, in a conversation, I will elaborate and go into this, that, and the other. And pretty soon, you know, I got to go, oh, easy, boy, easy, 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 hold back. Because a person can only process so much, right? And sometimes with my talks that even I give my clients, because I want to draw the correct picture in their minds. I want to give them the correct facts. I want to give them the correct, you know, information and stuff. And sometimes in that process, in laying it all out, because I teach in the way that, you know, I teach my adults in the way that I teach my 5-year-olds. Okay. I explain everything out. And in that process, sometimes there's like overload and I can see it, right? And I got to remind myself, whoa, wait, easy, boo, slow down, right? Slow down. And then, you know, but it's like that. But that's my ADHD, okay? Now, I used to say that's my disability. I used to say that years and years and years ago, right? And the guys I work with, they had all their own labels, right? They had different names that they called me. And did I care? No, I did not give a rip. I did not care. I plowed forward. I just like, okay, you know, next thing, right? Next day, next show, whatever. I didn't really take it into consideration. You know, but I can tell you that the people at my live shows really appreciated my ADHD. Because I made them laugh. And if it's the number one thing I love to do, that I miss doing it right now because I'm retired from entertainment. I miss making people laugh. I love being the clown. I love being the comedian. I love being the, you know, and I'm not the kind of comedian that you see most commonly. You know, I'm not the stand-up comedian, although sometimes I do a little bit of it. But I'm more of the guy that walks into the ballroom and starts working the room and, you know, has a joke here, a joke there, whatever. Somebody talk to me, I have a joke for it. I make up a joke for it on the spot kind of thing. That kind of thing. That's the kind of comedy I do. The other kind of comedy I do is where you cannot see me, you know, like on radio, right? And so that's why the podcast is like this. The podcast is like this because then I'm forced to draw pictures in your head. instead of, you know, something you can see on a screen and you go, oh, okay, that's because the eyes will distract you into that. And your imagination doesn't have to work because, well, now you see an image. Now you're watching a podcast. You're watching two people talk or one person talk or whatever. If you don't have that, if you just have the icon like you're looking at now, right? If you're on YouTube, or if you have the icon, you know, because you're listening on Spotify or wherever you're listening, right? You have to start imagining with me. And my job is to paint the picture with words so that you get the right idea. You see, so that's kind of been my specialty. So when I was on the radio and I used to make people laugh, it was because I chose different words. Okay. So let's say, for example, I'll give you an example. Okay. Let's say you're talking about, you know, somebody hitting something. Okay. Now, if I said, brother was hitting him. Okay. That's one, right? What if I said this? Oh, brother was tapping him. Okay. Right. What about this? Oh, brother was plowing him. You see the pictures? You see? You know, so I was really good at choosing the right words for the effect, and everything I did was on purpose. So if you were listening to me on the radio, I don't know if there's people old enough, but if you were old enough to hear me on the radio and the kind of insanity that came out of my brain, right, just know that the words that I selected on purpose to give effect. And you know, we did that. Now, there's some words that, of course, we can't use anymore, not even on the podcast, and I don't use it. But I'm just saying, like, that's what I did, and that's where the ADHD helps. So if you have a child with ADHD, they're probably really, really good at one thing. There's that one thing that they're gifted in. There's that one thing that they love, right? Now, if it's video games, you know, just let them go with it. Let them run with it. Go buy them the best video game computer. Just let them run with it. Because if you have ADHD, you're not going to be limited to the video game. Trust me. Okay. He'll end up either designing games or he'll end up, you know, I don't know, hosting tournaments or whatever it is. And it will make money. Okay. But you have to allow some freedom there. Okay, and this is one thing that I gotta thank my parents for. After I left the house, right? When I was in the house, it was a different story, right? I had to conform. I had to adhere to rules and, you know, everything that normally we have to do, right, as children. But as soon as I left the house, you know, I always wanted that kind of hands-on parents, you know, the kind that check up on me, call me up, that kind of thing. That doesn't happen. And I never really truly appreciated this, right? Because I thought, wow, my friend's parents, they call. You know, in fact, my friend's mom, right, bugs them all the time. Like, bugs, they calling them all the time, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, my mom never did that, right? And then I got it one day. And this is I don't know, 20 some odd years ago, you know, and I got it. I'm like, wow, she's just allowing me to do my own thing. She's allowing my life to unfold. She's allowing my life path to work. And all she knows is one day I will find what works. One day I will find that, you know, that path. One day I will find. And you know what? It's been several things. You know, the entertainment was one thing. Okay. The radio was one thing. If you want to group the radio and singing and all of that and my albums and if you want to group all of that into one thing, okay. Entertainment was one thing. Okay. But there was also my consultant company. There was also, you know, my singing school, which is education. It's a little bit different. You're not entertaining kids over there. You're teaching them how to entertain. So it's a different thing, right? My record company, AFMHawaiiMusic.com. Look it up. Go check, you know, VMACconsultants.com. Go check it out. Because this, and I'm not flexing, okay? I'm not flexing. What I'm trying to tell you is that if you have a kid with ADHD, they're going to be expansive because they're not going to be limited, okay? Because that H, that hyper, that thing, okay, that's going to expand. It's going to get bigger. It's going to get better. It's going to get more refined as they get older if, okay, now here's your condition. If they apply themselves to, like, okay, you know, I'm going to do XYZ, that, You know what I'm saying? And in my case, it was like, well, you know, I want to experience that. I want to experience this. I want to experience that, you know, and then I want to experience, you know, women, because I love women, right? And I'm not gonna downplay it. I love women, right? And they love me. Chicks dig me, right? And so I'm like, oh, date that one, date that one, date that one, date that. I mean, over the years, it's like, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, okay? Now, if you're taking advantage of this one, or you're beating that one up, or you're doing something wrong, whatever, then it's wrong, and then you're wrong, and you need to stop it, right? But in my case, right, you know, I love these. I still talk to my exes, right? Still talk, do favors for them, or whatever they need. What do you get on phone bill? All right, here you go. You know, I mean, whatever, okay. But I'm saying that if you direct your energy, and then at one point it was like, okay, after I started my production company, right, and then I got the idea, like, okay, let's do a singing school, right? Now after that, that's the other companies followed that. You know, and after a while, it was like, let's build a family of service companies in service to others. Because that's where, you know, I learned that. I learned that that's where you make the money. Okay, when you do things for yourself, when you do, you know, and I don't mean selfish, I just mean self. Like, you know, you go to work, you work for a corporation, you make a paycheck, that's for you. Okay, but if you have a service company, whatever service you provide to people, okay, so, you know, medical professionals are in, they provide service to people, right? So if you're a counselor or whatever, you're providing a service to people, you know? And so as a life coach, I provide service to people. I add value to people's lives. I change lives, turn them around, whatever, spin them around, point them in a better direction, whatever you want to call it. But that's what I do. Okay, and with my entertainment, yeah, that was it does serve other people, but it was more serving my ego. It was more serving me, because that's what I wanted to do. That was a goal. So most of the things that you see me do were goals that I had when I was like 12. The entertainment goal I had, like, I think before 12, I started at 5 singing on riverboats on Kauai. And, you know, it just kind of went from there, right? When I asked my mom, I said, how old was I when I started singing? She said 3. But I never did anything, you know, till I was 5. And then I started making money with that. I mean, you know, people were, you know, giving silver dollars and half dollars. That's how long ago it was when I was 5, right? But I'm just saying, if you allow your child or point them in the direction and enable them, give them what they're gravitating towards. You know, if one of your kids is gravitating towards, I don't know, engineering, and he's putting together Legos and he's doing, you know, that kind of, enable that. Go ahead, give them that. Now, I understand if you can't, you know, give it in the right amount with the right thing. You know, some people can't afford that, okay? But what you do is you morally support them. You go, yeah, boy, go get them. Yeah, girl, you go, you know, and get behind them. And you will see that they will start to do stuff. I have a lot of parents that come to me and they go, you know, my child this, my child that, you know, whatever. And they bring them to singing. They bring them to the singing school because, you know, they want them to do something constructive. Well, at the singing school, they develop the confidence, right? And I'm talking about Voice Master Vocal Development. Just go to voicemaster.org. That's the website. Cheap plug. But they, you know, they get confident, and then what happens? Well, then they hit their authentic self. And when their authentic self starts coming out, they naturally gravitate to their life path. So if they were put on earth to, I don't know, rescue puppies or help with animals, that's what they're going to do. And they're going to gravitate to that. And then you support that. If you can't support it monetarily, hey, of course, everybody understands that. Then support them morally. Tell them what they're doing is a good thing. Support them and go, yeah, as soon as we get some extra money, we'll do, you know, whatever, XYZ, whatever, and support it. Okay. Now, if you have a child with PTSD, they've been through a lot. Okay. And sometimes it's a car accident. Sometimes it's abuse. Sometimes it's bullying. Sometimes it's, you know, you never know. Okay. Post-traumatic stress disorder. Okay. Anything with extreme stress can break a human being. Okay. If they've been through extreme stress due to whatever situation, and they have those triggers that just kind of grab them and they can't help it, they just react like that, then yeah, you need a medical professional and go talk to them. If after you do that and you see the medical professional first and they say, well, you know, they should do this, 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 whatever, bring them to me. I know exactly what to do with them. Okay. I want to say this correctly. I can't say treat because I'm not a medical professional, but I have helped, let's say it that way. I have helped many, many military people. Okay. People that got out of the military and people that are actively in the military diminish the PTSD that they have. Okay. Because all you got to do is have that one experience, right? Where you're taking orders because you're an order taker if you're in the military and you got to go in and clean out a village or something and you have that in your head for the rest of your life kind of thing. You go on a tour and you do some missions that you're not exactly proud of and you come back with it and you're holding all this stuff inside. You need to know that you need to get it out. And the human voice is the fastest way. The very, very fastest way. Okay. Now, I'm not going to go through the, you know, clinical details or the actually it's neurochemical details. I'm not going to go through the neurochemical details and stuff and get real specific, but it activates some neurotransmitters in your head. Okay. That produce hormones that start to calm you down, that start to level the playing field. And pretty soon the triggers are like really, really small kind. Okay. And when I say small kind, I mean small kind. It diminishes. Okay. Now it doesn't just disappear. It's not like, oh, I'm healed. Now I don't have to think about it anymore. No, it's going to come back. It will always rear its ugly head. Okay. But instead of popping up in a big way, it might little, you know, boop, just come up like that. You know what I mean? Small kind, right? And you can push it down easy. Okay, but the trick is to push it down easy, okay, and not struggle with it and not, you know, be like, oh, man, I can't deal with this. I can't deal with it. You know, I've had people like that where they come to me. They go, oh, man, I can't deal with this anymore, man. I don't know what I'm going to do. And that's where you have people thinking about giving up. And that's where you have people thinking about, wow, I can't deal with this anymore. You know, that kind of thing. So yeah, if that's you, if you have that kind of issue, I can help in a huge way. Okay. And all you got to do is get a hold of me, go to the website. You can write to me from anywhere, but actually you can go to hereforyoulifecoaching.com. I say anywhere because if you put my name in Google, you'll get a whole bunch of stuff. My contact numbers will come up. You could text me at 808-375-6378 right there. Boom. You can dial our 800 line is 888-683-8863. And it'll take you to the company phone tree. That might be confusing. Okay. But what you want to look for, if you're looking for that kind of stuff, is either VoiceMaster Vocal Development, which is a little bit more affordable, or you can go to Here For You Life Coaching, which involves other things besides vocalization. Okay. So the singing side is just vocalization. The life coaching side is affirmations, meditation, visualization, and vocalization. Okay. And when you do all those four things, those are the four pillars. When you do that, you can solve and reprogram your subconscious for any issue. Okay, you can solve any issue. You can reprogram your subconscious. It doesn't take that much doing. But here's the back end. Okay, the back end. Because, you know, people tell me, oh, yeah, Junior, for you it's easy because you did them. I'm like, yeah, but you know what? I still have to do it. I still write affirmations. I still meditate. I still visualize. I still do all of that. It's the kind of thing that when you do it, you have to commit to it. And you got to say, okay, you know what? This is a lifestyle change. I'm going to change my life right now. And I'm always going to be this way instead of that former self way, the way I used to do things. Okay. Now, if you have a child with ADHD, I don't normally see children for the life coaching side for legal purposes. I normally, I see adults. So if you have a child that, you know, has ADHD and you're looking for an activity or you're looking something, you know, I even take people with autism, children with autism, really good success rate. In fact, one of the guys that has a minor form of autism, I recorded a couple of projects for him already. And he's out on the website. He's on AFM. Go look on AFMHawaiiMusic.com. And his name's Darren. And Darren is not shy, or he's not covering up the fact that he has a mild case of autism. And he is amazing, this guy. He's a school teacher now, right? So just because you have something, or just because you're going through something, does not mean you're limited, okay? In my case, yeah, it's a blessing or a curse. So I can use my ADHD, you know, both types, right? ADD, ADHD. I can use it for the positive. If I use it for the positive, I bang out projects like you have no idea, right? And money comes like you have no idea, right? But on the downside, right, some nights I can't sleep. I just cannot. And sometimes that energy overrides things like sleeping pills or like melatonin or whatever I'm taking, right? And, you know, and when that happens, the next day is painful because I have to keep going. I have to keep up until I can go to sleep and put this brain to rest. Okay, so there's a downside to it. It's not all, you know, fun and games. It's not all good, right? You gotta take the other side. Like with anything else in life, you're gonna take the good, you gotta take the bad, Hawaiians, because that's just how it is. I don't care what. Oh, sorry, Hawaiians, I gotta go.
Coming to you live!
Hey, what is this? Hey, change the track. What are you? I thought we was going, and then like, so now I don't know if we're coming or going. I have no idea. Is this really the cozy track, Jay? Like he's looking at me from the back. I'm like, sometimes this happens. You see what I'm saying? It happens. I'm like, alright, I'm gonna talk to somebody back there. Hey, we want to thank Brother Randy and Sister Jerry over at Island Club and Spa in Kaka'ako. And, we want to mahalo them. Also, AFMHawaiiMusic.com. Check out Brother Darren Chinen and his music and his show. He has a full, complete show. You can hire him for your special occasion. Also, we'd like to thank the Voice Master family of service companies. I'm Junior K. Goeva Jr. Until next time, I'm going to talk to Jay about this technical stuff. Oh, man. Mahalo and aloha.